This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Welcome, Rutherford County. Another beautiful day. Going to have another great show today. Want to let you know that the first part of our show is brought to you by Pirtle and Howerton Automotive. And they're at 2006 North Main Street in Shebbeville, Tennessee. About a 20-minute drive out 231 South. You'll see it on the left just before you get into town. And if you're looking for a Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, then that's the place to go. And you can reach them at 1-800-264-6800 or through the internet, PirtleHowerton.com. And I guarantee you anything that you're looking for will be there, and you'll also have a lot of really nice people to talk with and just enjoy your stay. We have a special event coming up tomorrow, and something that means a lot to many of us in Rutherford County. And that is, we're going to have a show put on about Roy Rogers. And I don't know how many of us grew up on Saturday morning, especially when we would go to the Prince's Theater and we would get to see our hero. And when I'm talking about heroes, I'm talking about true heroes. I'm talking about when you go, you know which ones are the good guys, which ones are the bad guys. And everything is laid out for you. And it was the greatest time growing up actually watching those movies. And I have his daughter, Cheryl, who is on today. And Cheryl, it is so nice to see you again. And I first met you at the Blackman Barbecue two or three times when you were so nice to come down and just meet and greet everybody. And you're such a sweet lady. And you kind of remind me a lot of Roy. The way he would relate to everybody.
Now, he was just a great guy, a wonderful guy. And it is such a pleasure to be able to bring this movie and ask everybody to come see him on the big screen again. You know, it's really different when you're looking at that from what you see on a TV. So the big screen is wonderful.
You're exactly right. I'm a big fan of movies, and I always have been, but there are just some people that stood out above others. And you must have led one of those lives that you only see in movies or read about in books, because there's not a kid anywhere that probably wouldn't have swapped with you at that time, being around such two wonderful people as Roy and Dale.
Yeah, well, my first job. I was 12 years old, and Dad hired me to work in his fan mail office. So I, you know, was opening all of these letters saying, oh, you know, if you would just adopt me. And I felt so honored because he had adopted me. Mm-hmm. So that was, yeah, it was really a fun time. And now, with the things I do and with taking the films around and doing my book and all, I'm still hearing the same thing from, you know, ladies that are grandmothers saying, oh, that was my dream. And little boys, too. I mean, they were going to run away and get adopted by Roy Rogers.
You know, he had such a great demeanor. You caught it automatically on the screen. He had that just nice, gentlemanly face, great smile.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to have a character already spelt out for him, because you knew right away he didn't have to have a white hat on. You knew all right that he was the hero. He was the nice guy. He was the good guy, and he never swayed from that. I mean, what a role model. I mean, if you're going to teach a lot of people, churches, you know, they use the Andy Griffith Show as role models. They could do that, the same thing with Roy Rogers.
Well, early on, he had a chance to go on loan to another studio other than Republic and be a bad guy. It would have been a lot of money, and it was a really meaty part, but he turned it down. He said that he'd been Roy Rogers for several years, and he said he just didn't want to confuse the little kids that looked up to him.
Mm-hmm. I guess and he really wasn't a bad guy in the movie. The closest I can think of that he would have kind of a similarity to a bad guy was probably he was in a movie with John Wayne, and I believe the movie was Dark Command.
Yes,
if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And I've seen that movie a number of times, and he was kind of caught in between on that one a little bit.
By the end of the movie, however, he's a good guy again.
He has to overcome a lot. And did he ever share with you any of the time that he grew up in Ohio and what he went through? Because that's an interesting story in itself.
Well, it was what they termed a hardscrabble life. Mm-hmm. I think that farm grew more rocks than it did anything else. And, of course, his dad didn't live at the farm. His dad lived and worked in town, first in Cincinnati and then in Portsmouth for a shoe factory. Mm-hmm. So he was only home from Cincinnati every other weekend. And then with Portsmouth, he came home every weekend. So Dad was raised by his crippled mom, and it was very difficult. He put the meat on the table from the time he was like 8 or 9 years old. Mm-hmm. Grampy, when he would leave for the week, would give Dad, you know, a couple of bullets, and Dad was supposed to, you know, get whatever he could that would be edible and that Mammy could make stew or, you know, whatever out of. So it was very hard. And then he quit school before he graduated from high school. He quit and went to work in the shoe factory. Mm-hmm. Then along came the Depression, and they were both out of work. Mm. So they took off for Hollywood, and, you know.
And his dad was so supportive of him, whatever he wanted to do. Yeah. And if I remember right, one of the stories was that he told his dad that he was going to Hollywood mostly music was his interest at that time, if I remember right. And he was in a couple of bands. Of course, the one that everybody remembers the most, of course, and he started was the Sons of the Pioneers.
Right. But I really think that what they went to California was just to eat. Dad's older sister had gotten married and moved to California, and mm-hmm. she wrote him and she said, you know, there's still some work out here, and at least people are, you know, out in the fields and mm-hmm. the orchards and everything. And she said, you know, you might be able to get a job here, because in the Portsmouth area there just was nothing. Mm-hmm. So they made a trip out there, and they did pick fruit and vegetables for a while, and then Dad got a job driving a gravel truck. But he was playing guitar and other instruments while there. My aunt, his sister, pushed him on the stage at a talent show, and he didn't win it, but he made friends with some of the people that were there, and that's how he started and on radio and the different groups he worked with.
Now, when did he run into Bob Nolan and some of the guys that have those such distinctive voices?
Well, it was at that time. Bob worked in one of the groups that he was working with, and Tim Spencer worked in another group that he was working with. He said that you had to do, you know, two or three groups every day or you didn't get enough money to eat on. So they ended up, thank heavens, forming that trio, because Dad and Tim had tried a couple of other people, and it just didn't work as well. But then they got Bob in there, and that trio was just incredible, and they created that yodeling in harmony.
Mm-hmm. That nobody else can copy.
No, nobody had done that. And it, you know, people liked it, and then they added two more musicians, the Farr Brothers, and became the Sons of the Pioneers.
And all of that, I mean, everybody can remember some of those beautiful songs that they created. And I can, if I'm feeling kind of jumpy or I want to relax a little bit, all I have to do is put on cool water and Tumbling Tumbleweeds. And of course, that's their signature songs. And just absolutely, I mean, if they were to come out now, they would be top hits.
Bob Nolan was a genius. He just wrote the most beautiful music. But I swear, when I was little, I was so in awe of him because he just was always looking over the horizon or something. And I told my mom, I said, you know, I'm scared of him. And she said, don't be. He's just hearing music in his head all the time. He was always writing stuff.
That's what Fred told me earlier, and how interesting. Have you ever heard Fred do Bob Nolan?
Yes, he does him quite well. He does a fabulous Hugh Farr, too.
Come on, Fred, let's go. Let's see. Cool water.
Hello, Truman. This is Hugh Farr, and I just appreciate you having Cheryl on the radio today, and I appreciate you liking the Sons of the Pioneers. You know, when we were in business, we were the best group in the whole wide world.
Amen.
Nobody ever came close to us. And I'll tell you another story. You know, I always played the fiddle in the movies, and Bob Wills came up to me and says, I've been hearing about you, but you're the best fiddler of all time. Hugh Farr. Thank you very much, Truman, for having on. Let me give you my good friend, Bob Nolan, over here.
I do, Truman. This is Bob Nolan and all the Sons of the Pioneers. Thank you so much for having us on today. We really enjoyed watching everybody that really enjoyed our movies back then. And I'll give you back to Cheryl.
Thank you, Fred. Anyway, we hope that everybody's going to come out on Saturday.
At 1 o'clock.
Yeah, at 1 o'clock at Patterson Park at the theater there. Mm-hmm. This movie is really great fun, and it's very timely. It's all about the drought and the big Mammoth Water Company keeping the water away from the ranchers and farmers that needed it so much. And my husband, Larry, and I live in the Southwest, and we still have drought problems and water problems and all, so it's very timely where we are.
We're going to take a caller in, Cheryl, and everybody got their headphones on. Caller, welcome aboard.
Hello, Truman.
Hey.
Lord, it sure is good to hear from you again. I was wondering, there was a book that Roy Rogers and Dale Evans wrote. My mother was talking about when she was young. Angels Unaware, was that it?
Yes, Mom wrote that about my little sister, Robin.
Oh, okay. Well, she kind of loved Roy Rogers. My grandmother really loved Roy and Dale. I think she liked Dale better than Roy.
Oh.
Well, that's all I wanted to find out there. Appreciate it. Thank you.
I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that little book is still available out at Amazon. You can still get copies.
She was born with a problem.
She had Down syndrome.
Right.
Yeah. She's the only one they had together.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
They were such sweet parents. You could tell their loving went to their children, and they loved entertainment. I mean, that's quite obvious. But I think the family meant more to them than anything, and you could see that the way that they worked with you guys.
Well, I mean, they just were crazy about kids. When we would be touring, or when they toured without us, one of the first things they would always do is go to the children's hospital. Mm-hmm. They went to the local orphanages, you know, any homes where there were handicapped children or anything. They just felt called on to do that. And not only did they adopt five into their own family, but they also sponsored a bunch of orphans from Korea and later from Vietnam, and they were very active in children's
and they
things.
Shared their lives with all you guys. You got to meet some of the most wonderful people that we all grew up with in the movie theater. I mean, it seems like that we knew them almost as well as you. And of course, everybody, you were talking about Bob Nolan. I know that you had a special relationship with him and some of the Sons of the Pioneers. But there's one character that always has stuck out in Roy Rogers' movies, and that is Gabby. George Gabby Hayes was one of the most liked people in the country. I think everybody adored him.
He was just an absolutely wonderful, wonderful man. Now, he's one of those that when he first went to Hollywood, he'd already had a career on Broadway and in vaudeville. When he went to Hollywood, because he was older than 35 and he had this gorgeous stage voice, they tried to make him a bad guy. And in a couple of early John Wayne movies, he is the crooked bank president, and, you know.
I've seen him.
Anyway, he didn't like that, but more important, his wife didn't like him being a bad guy. So he created that wonderful, before Gabby, it was Wendy Holiday in the copy films. And then he became Gabby Hayes, that I think every kid in, you know, the 40s, 50s just adored him. And he was the best, I think, the best sidekick ever. He worked with all of the cowboys. He was a really fine, fine actor.
After he developed the character Gabby Hayes, he never went away from that, did he? I can't remember him ever leaving that.
No. He would do different, you know, variations on it. He wasn't always Dad's sidekick. He, in My Pal Trigger, he was...
one of my favorites.
Yeah, he owned that ranch, the Palomino Ranch. He would do things like that in the different movies.
He was kind of mean in that movie a little
bit.
Because he did not treat
grumpy.
Roy very well.
No, not in the beginning. He was very crotchety. In
over
that.
A horse.
Yes.
Trigger.
Yes.
And that one, it took Roy a long time to gain his respect and confidence in that movie.
Right, all the way to the end of the movie
before
they became friends. But Gabby also played Mom's father in that one. So that she liked that.
That was one of their first
She
movies.
Adored him.
Yeah. Now Trigger is an interesting story in itself, because Roy was not the first owner of Trigger, and Trigger was not his movies weren't the first movies that he was in. If I remember right, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that Trigger was in the old Robin Hood movie.
Yes.
And I believe that Olivia de Havilland was his writer.
Exactly. As they come through Sherwood Forest, she is riding Golden Cloud. He was a rental horse from Hudkin Stables.
Now, Roy, how did Roy get to know Trigger? And then, it's such an interesting story I want you to tell, how he actually became the owner of Trigger.
Well, when Dad got the chance to be Roy Rogers and star in Under Western Stars, of course, every cowboy hero had to have a horse. So the studio arranged for several horses to be brought over. Dad said that he would throw his leg over each one of them, and Golden Cloud was like the third one or something like that. Dad said the moment he put his leg over that horse, that was it. He told them they could take all the rest of them away. This was the horse he was going to ride. When you see the movie tomorrow, you'll see them together for the very first time, and I think you can see the communication that's already there. So before the end of the movie, Dad opened negotiations with the Hudkins to buy Trigger. One of the Hudkins brothers, not Ace who ran everything, but one of his brothers was up on the location, and he got back to the stables, and Ace was telling him that Dad was trying to buy him. And he says, oh boy, if you get a chance, you sell him, because wait till you see what they're doing with that horse. Because they have him riding down these steep hills and all at breakneck speed. The brother was afraid that he was really going to get injured or something. So Dad always said it was better to be lucky than good, and he lucked out, and they sold Trigger to him. And several years later, when the studio thought that Dad might be making a little more money than some totally unknown person would make, they told Dad that they didn't need him, that they could put anybody on Trigger and they would look wonderful.
You have got to be kidding.
Yeah, and Dad says, no, you can't. I own him. So Dad always said Trigger saved his career.
And tell me how he bought Trigger.
He bought him on time. He bought him for $2,500 in 1938 when Dad was making $75 a week.
Roy Rogers, the greatest, the king of the Cowboys, it's hard to fathom that he was making $75 a week. I mean, at that time, you know, it was better than the normal working guy was making, but it didn't measure up to the type of salaries that they draw now. I wonder, did he have an agent at that time?
I believe he did, but...
He wasn't doing his job.
Not for very long. He ended up changing agents shortly after that. But, I mean,
he had
that
to be
was,
bringing in a lot of money.
Well, he did. He did the whole time that he worked for Republic. But he never made the money there, you know, that the people that worked for Paramount or for MGM or Warner's. Republic was considered what they called a Poverty Row studio.
But they had some great movies.
They did. They made some really good movies, but they did, you know, almost strictly B-Westerns, mm-hmm. not the A's. John Wayne made a couple of A's there, but most of their Westerns were B's. They made the war movies, but not the great big epic ones. Mm-hmm. I mean, Republic, they turned Dad's movies out in 10 days.
But you couldn't tell it by the quality.
I don't know how they did it, other than they had a couple of geniuses that worked for the studio, the Lidecker brothers,
mm-hmm.
who could do anything with miniatures and special effects and all. I mean, they really were geniuses, and they could take nothing and make it into something fantastic, and they did that all the time. A lot of the battle scenes that you would see, especially naval battles, they had a water tank there on the lot, and they would use these little tiny miniature boats and film these huge battle scenes and everything, and they looked real, but it was just in this water tank. They were really fabulous.
You know, he kind of lived, and you're talking about your dad, he kind of lived on the edge, because he went through all these hard times. He went through the Depression,
yeah.
Having to make it, went into music in a time that, you know, you didn't make the money like you do now. And there he was in these movies. He did a lot of his own stunts. And
in the beginning.
And you could see him, like you were talking about, they would do some of the craziest things, like going down a hill, which is uncomfortable for a horse, at breakneck speed.
Yep.
And at any time, he could have been hurt, or Trigger could have been hurt. And who knows, with their attitude, which was... The owners, they were the owners back then. You did what they said.
Oh, yeah.
That was amazing that he was able to get through those times as well as he did. And he became such a big star, he and Dale. When you went to the movies and you were a kid and you went to the movies on Saturday, they're the ones that you wanted to see. If they didn't come on, if it was another cowboy, I mean, I can still remember the Durango Kid and all of those.
Lash LaRue.
Lash LaRue was one of my favorites, especially with that big whip he had. It was just something that Roy was the ultimate star at that time for all the kids. And a lot of it was his demeanor and everything. He just automatically liked him as soon as he came on the screen. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Cheryl.
Did you know a vehicle you buy from Stan McNabb Chevrolet, Cadillac, Buick, GMC, and Stan McNabb Jeep, Dodge, Chrysler in Tullahoma, and even Stan McNabb Ford in Lewisburg, and a vehicle you buy from another dealership, they may look alike, but the truth is, they're very different. Only the new or pre-owned vehicle from Stan McNabb has oil changes and tires for life at no additional charge. Check it out at stanmcnabb.com. See dealer for complete details.
Are you thinking about retirement living for yourself or a loved one? Think Adams Place in Murfreesboro. Retirement and assisted living, rehabilitation, and long-term care are available on their picturesque campus. Think it's too expensive? Think again. Adams Place Assisted Living starts as low as $100 a day. If you need a vacation, take advantage of assisted living's respite care for your loved one. Adams Place Retirement Community in Murfreesboro. Senior living at its finest.
Hello, this is Jim Bryan at First Bank.
And I'm Chuck Lewis. First Bank presents Good Neighbor Events, news of what our local schools, churches, and community groups are doing.
Well, it's another hot day, and on days like this one, be sure and check with your senior citizen friends and loved ones. Make sure that they're okay. You know, fans and air conditioners really do save lives. And if you need one, get in touch with Dwight Ogleton at the Cool Aid Program. His phone number is 618-2459. The Murfreesboro Center for the Arts Dinner Theater gets underway Friday and Saturday nights, and the play is A Little Murder Never Hurt Anyone. The Dinner Theater, Friday and Saturday nights at 6:30, and that continues through August 20th at the Center for the Arts in Uptown Murfreesboro. Friday Night Live on the Murfreesboro Square, 6:30 this Friday night. It's a free service of the Main Street Program and the Rutherford County Downtown Merchants. The music of Skyline Drive, a 9-piece band playing high-energy songs of the last 4 decades. That's 6:30 until 9:30 Friday night on the Murfreesboro Square. And for all of you hunters, you need to be at the Co-op Farm and Home Center Saturday night from 5 until 9. It's Hunter's Night. It's all free and includes bow competition, lots of free food, displays, door prizes, and so much more. That's 5 until 9 Saturday night at the Co-op. There's just something about cowboy movies that are great, and Roy Rogers is even better. You need to be in the theater in the Patterson Community Center at 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon. In addition to seeing a Roy Rogers movie, meet and talk with his daughter Cheryl, who'll tell you how it was to grow up with Roy and Dale as your parents. The tickets are only $5, and that's 1 o'clock this Saturday in the theater at the Patterson Community Center. Good Neighbor Events brought to you by First Bank.
Weather Eye.
In the cloud this afternoon with occasional sun. Scattered showers, isolated thunderstorms. High in the mid-90s. Heat indice value as high as 100. Chance of storms early tonight. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now it's 73.
Emissions testing, brakes, check engine lights.
Todd's Complete Auto Care.
Oil change, tune-ups, transmission.
Todd's Complete Auto Care.
Everything in between.
Todd's Complete Auto Care.
We're on Southeast Broad across from the Discovery Center.
Todd's Complete Auto Care.
Can you see me?
You've known him for years. Now you can visit with him every day. It's The Truman Show, continuing right now on WGNS AM and FM.
Sausage and biscuits, gravy and grits, home ground, homemade, it'll get you fits. Blueberry pancakes and corn cakes too, I'm a-licking my lips, now how about you? Readyville, readyville, readyville mill, I said get yourself to the readyville mill. Readyville, readyville, readyville
mill. Yes, it is, Keith. We were talking about the song, the readyville mill. And it's one of the great places to go, Cheryl, if you want to go out and have a good time on Saturday morning. And you're not going to be here long, I know that. But you could get up early and go out to the Readyville Mill. It's 200 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, it actually works. And Tom Brady refurbished that mill a few years ago. And they decided they want to put it to good use. So they have people who come out. They have weddings there. But on Saturday only, from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., you can go out and have blueberry pancakes or all the stuff that they make there. It's absolutely a wonderful setting. It's right there on the Stones River, and it's just a beautiful place, and the people are so nice. It's probably like when Roy was young and growing up in the community. Actually, it was the first place to ever have electricity here in Rutherford County. They had ice that they made. Now, we're talking about 200 years ago. And it was a nice community at that time. And Fred was asking me who was singing, and that's John Blankenship and friends. You know Avant Lane. He's with him. Do you know him? He is such a great singer. And every time I go there, I ask him to sing Cool Water. And he does such a great job with it. I mean, he really does. And it's such a great atmosphere. You should go there one time when you're here and enjoy the atmosphere. And Fred should take you. And he should pay for the whole meal.
I know he
would be more than happy to do that.
You know, one of my husband's favorite stories about my dad, growing up during the Depression, mm-hmm. and then, of course, being a starving musician, because Dad said they hardly ever got to finish a tour with money. I mean, they would start out on a tour for radio, and they would run out of money at, like, the third or fourth city, and would beg on the radio for food. Anyway, Dad, I had told Larry that Dad, when I was little, we'd go to Dupar Studio, right across our restaurant, right across the street from Republic Studios. Mm-hmm. That's where Dad would have breakfast every morning. And as soon as they would see Dad come around the corner, they'd put the flapjacks on, because he loved pancakes his whole life. And he would take a short stack, and he'd put mayonnaise on one, and then he'd put syrup on the other. And Larry would not believe me. That
mayonnaise.
That's exactly. Larry says, no way. So he asked my dad about it, and Dad said, yeah. He'd started that, you know, because they just didn't have any money. So the pancake with mayonnaise on it, that was an entree,
mm-hmm.
and then the pancake with syrup on it was dessert.
Well, you know, I can remember the times when we would eat. A sandwich for us would be mayonnaise and bread.
Oh, yeah. I remember doing that as a kid just because I liked it.
Yeah, yeah. people don't realize how great that is. They all want to put something on with it, but mayonnaise and bread was perfect for me.
Trigger liked those, too.
Yeah, that was one thing I was going to add. Trigger ate human food. Now, how did he get away with that?
I have no idea, but I loved, you know, white bread and mayonnaise. And Trigger thought that was really great. He would drink Coke, and he loved Dad's coffee.
I would have never thought that a horse would like coffee.
Yeah, he did. And there's a picture of him that was done with Dad, with him drinking Coke, mm-hmm. with Dad pouring the bottle up for him.
There was one question I was going to ask you, because it just hit me on my way over here. He was in a movie with John Wayne. What did he think of John Wayne? Did they get to know each other that well?
I don't think they ever got to be really close friends. I know that Dad always liked and admired mm-hmm. him very much. They
My
were
two favorites.
Friendly. Mm-hmm. You know, Republic was a really small studio.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have that many sound stages, and they only had one Western Street. It was very short.
Mm-hmm.
So with the Cowboys, hardly any of them really got to know each other well, because they weren't working at the same time. Like Dad and Gene, they had their crews, oh my word, for years, mm-hmm. almost the whole time that they worked at Republic. Gene had one group of a crew, and Dad had another mm-hmm. group. I know Dad took his with him when he started his own production company to mm-hmm. do the TVs. I think Gene did the same. So if Gene was in town, Dad would be off either on location or doing rodeos. And then Dad would come in town and work with his crew, and Gene would be out of town. Mm-hmm. And that's really how all of them worked. Now, towards the end of the singing cowboy era, Republic went and made several films where they used all of the guys on the lot and would have everybody do cameos. So in Dad's Bells of Rosarita, and then in Trail of Robin Hood, which is the only movie I made with my dad, they used all of the guys that were on the lot. So Bells of Rosarita had Bob Steele and... Sunset Carson, and I forget who else. I mean, just a whole bunch of guys
We're
worked on that one.
We're going way back with that bunch.
Yeah. And then Trail of Robin Hood was Rex Allen and Alan Lane and Bill Elliott, Kermit Maynard. The co-star on that one was Jack Holt, and Everybody was in awe of him. You know, he'd been such a huge star in the movies, first in Silence and then in the early talkies and all. So for him to come back to the studio and play a part was really something. I mean, I was awed by him. The only line I have in the movie is with Mr. Holt. And I was so in awe because all the adults were.
Mm-hmm. How old were you at that time?
I was 10 when I did that.
How was that? I mean, how did you feel?
Oh, I thought it was fascinating. I mean, I'd always wanted to do one. But after being in that, I sort of decided that I would rather be the script girl than an actress.
Did Roy and Dale discourage you from doing that?
No, not really.
Their life was so much different than a lot of the movie stars. They didn't get caught up in all the Hollywood going-ons that the people strove to, I guess, for the limelight and all that. They didn't seem to be that way.
No, they weren't big party-goers or anything, at least, you know, not when we kids were around. I don't know, you know. Mm-hmm. With Dad when he was single or anything. But once all of us kids were there, usually about the only Hollywood parties that they went to were usually for a charity event, mm-hmm. something like that, which, of course, there were a lot of. Everybody had favorite things mm-hmm. that they, you know, wanted to get everybody together. And the studio heads were infamous for throwing parties and inviting all of their actors to them to do it for free type of thing. But mainly with charity events and stuff.
Now, Republic, did they do a lot of, or the way you were talking, they did most of their movies in a set that was already pre-made in Hollywood. They did not go out into and film a lot, like John Ford would go to some of these famous places.
Yeah, Dad didn't get to go to Monument Valley like Ford did with Wayne's movies. No, Dad's films didn't have that kind of a budget. So the film Utah was shot at Lone Pine. Mm-hmm. Under Western Stars was shot at Lone Pine. They did a lot up in the Santa Susana area. They used Vasquez rocks, which you see still in a lot of commercials and things like that. They were all close in to Hollywood locations. And a lot of the areas that they shot in were like in Agora, Calabasas, Thousand Oaks, which now are wall-to-wall houses. But those were all really open areas and ranches when Dad, you know, in the 40s. Those didn't have all those houses out there. The city hadn't sprawled out that far. So it was easy to get beautiful places to shoot, you know, the gorgeous big oak trees and stuff. They were right there and available.
And did he have a ironclad contract with Republic? Or 'cause he was such a big star, I can't imagine these companies like MGM and some of the others not making an offer to get him, because he was bringing in a lot of dollars for Republic.
You know, I really don't know. His first contract, he did have something in there where he could be loaned out. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, as I mentioned earlier, where the one studio wanted to bring him over there and have him be a bad guy.
Oh.
But being so identified with the Roy Rogers character was really good for him and bad for him at the same point, I think, because for the other studios, once he became number one box office and was so identified with that character, I think they felt that it would be hard for the public to accept him in another role.
You mentioned a name earlier, Alan Lane. Of course, we knew him as Rocky Lane.
And yes.
All those that would go to see him. How was he? I mean, what did you think of
him? Well, now, I thought he was just the nicest man ever. Of course, I was a little girl who had a crush on him.
Uh-oh.
So he had this wonderful black horse that was kept right across the Van Nuys Wash from where Trigger was kept. Mm-hmm. And I just thought he was great. So he always treated me really nice. I mean, you know, when you're being worshipped, I guess it would be hard for him to be mean. He was also, of course, the voice of Mr. Ed. And I, as I say, I
he
just, I thought
horse.
He was great. Oh, he did. He was from New York.
He could have been a Shakespearean actor. I mean, he really did have that type of voice.
Yes, and I think that he saw himself as a legitimate actor. I don't know that he was that happy with doing Westerns, but once he got cast in there, I mean, his face and everything, and he was very athletic, he rode well. So again, once he got into that part, especially while he was playing Red Rider, that's what the public saw him as. Now, he did several film noir type, you know, detective films and things like that as well, but I don't think they ever got as well known as the Westerns.
He was under contract with Columbia Motion Pictures before he went to Republic, and he was the leading man at Columbia Motion Pictures in the 1930s. I know he did one movie with Lucille Ball. He was a good actor. He's an egotistical personality that he had, and he had a lot of the actors had a rough time playing with him, appearing with him, because when he fought, man, he would fight for real. A lot of times, he'd hit somebody. Now, he was a pretty tough guy on the screen.
His Little Beaver, that was Robert Blake, wasn't it?
Which Cheryl was a good friend of theirs.
Which is amazing. I mean, he's a story in himself, and you know him.
Yeah, Bob and I grew up together. You know, that's one of those stories where he was a child actor. His name was not Bob Blake or anything. He's a nice little Italian boy who got renamed
Little Rascals,
Bob,
I think he
when he was 4 years old. Mm-hmm. His name was changed, and I don't know that he's ever really, after that, known quite who he was. His identity was with the parts that he played and all. Outstanding actor. I've never seen him where he didn't just give a stunning performance.
Well, the one that stands out is the one I think that probably messed his personality up more than anything else was when he did Truman Capote's In Cold Blood.
That was a really weird movie. The other one was Town Without Pity.
Mm-hmm.
He was wonderful in that, but I know that was a really difficult role and took a lot out of him to do that. I loved him in Beretta because it showed the breadth of his talent. And then also he was one of Richard Boone's stock players in that wonderful group that he had with Warren Stevens and Bethel Leslie and Ford Rainey and all, yeah. He did some really good stuff in that.
You're talking about Shakespearean actor. That's Richard Boone.
Fabulous actor.
Yeah, and his roles just span. I mean, it ran the gamut. I mean, from the worst bad guys to the best good guys. And
we
of course, first time I ever saw him was in Paladin. I mean, when that came out on TV. What made Roy and Dale decide to get into the small screen in television?
I think that there were two things. One, his contract was up with Republic and he didn't want to sign again.
Mm-hmm. I don't blame him.
But also because he saw that was where things were headed. Mm-hmm. So he formed his own company. By that time, he was a little against working for anybody else. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be his own boss. So he took his crew from Republic. Almost all of them went with him and did the Roy Rogers TV show for 4 years. And then they went from that, transitioned from that into doing the hour-long variety shows that they did for NBC and ABC.
Still remembering well. We have a caller on the line, Cheryl. Caller, welcome aboard with us.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
And I'm listening online from Massachusetts.
Oh, wow.
And I just want to say hello, Cheryl.
Well, hello back.
I do remember, I'm too young to remember your dad, but I do remember my grandfather loving his movies.
They were great entertainment. I mean, and it was
my
just pure entertainment.
My grandfather loved talking about the old movies, and I like watching them sometimes myself.
Well, good for you.
Do you have a book out at all, Cheryl?
Yes, I do. It's called Cowboy Princess.
Oh.
And you can go to my website. It's CherylRogers.co. And, contact me through that, and I'll tell you how you can get it.
Okay.
Well, how's the weather in Massachusetts?
After the storms that we've had calm down a little, we're doing okay.
Well, bless your heart. We've had our time with it here.
Massachusetts usually doesn't get the kind of weather that we've done, but we've been getting it and making it through day by day is all we can do up here.
Well, thank you for calling, hon.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Nancy from Massachusetts. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Cheryl. One of our new sponsors is At Home Care, where they're at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, and they're right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. You can reach them at 713-4639 or check out their website at www.athomecaretennessee.com. And what they provide for you is a service that I think that we will all need at one time, and many need it right now. As you get older, you have a harder time taking care of the task that you have to take care of at your home. And none of us wants to leave our home. And they provide a person's ability to remain at home, and they go in and take care of the errands, laundry, personal needs, light housekeeping, transportation to appointments, grocery shopping, meal preparation, medication reminders, and many other things. And they're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you're having any specific times, whether it's an age problem or you're having physical problems or whatever, and you just need help, give them a call.
It's Friday. Hi, this is Tom at Kirk & Burt's. Stop by and pick up a rack of ribs for just $15. Kirk & Burt's, 517 Cason Lane, just down from the theater. Call us at 893-FOOD, and we also deliver in the Cason Lane area.
Remember going to the movies and the good guys won? This Saturday, see Roy Rogers' first big movie, Under Western Stars. Bring your kids and grandkids to the Patterson Community Center Theater this Saturday afternoon. Admission is $5. See this great King of the Cowboys movie and meet Roy and Dale's daughter, Cheryl. That's 1 o'clock this Saturday afternoon at the Patterson Community Center, 521 Mercury Boulevard.
Hi, this is Chuck Lewis with First Bank in Murfreesboro.
And Jim Bryan of First Bank in Smyrna.
Did you know that Social Security and other federal benefits are moving to a paperless system?
If you're currently receiving a paper check from the government and want to know more about how you can make the transition to direct deposit, stop by your local First Bank branch or call 890-1111 in Murfreesboro or 267-1111 in Smyrna.
That's 890-1111 or 267-1111. First Bank, member FDIC.
He knows Rutherford County, and he knows the people of Rutherford County. Truman Jones, here on WGNS, AM and FM.
Welcome back with Cheryl, and we're talking about when Roy changed from the movies to television. And I guess I probably, as a child, relate more to him in the movies. But as I got older, I became a big fan when he was on television, because he really didn't change his demeanor or his ethics, morals, or,
no.
or whatever you want to say. He still put out the image that you want your kids to be able to emulate. And but he had new characters when Gabby wasn't on the television with him. And I remember he also had a radio show before that.
Oh, yes. He had a radio show for years. Both Dodge sponsored him for a while, and then Quaker Oats sponsored him mm-hmm. for a long time, because we used to get cartons of that stuff had it every morning for breakfast. And interestingly enough, Mom wrote Happy Trails for his theme song for the radio show. He was using another song that several other people sang as well, and Mom thought that he should have one that was just strictly his own. Mm-hmm. So she wrote Happy Trails in like 30 minutes.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
I mean, that was Mom.
One of the most listened to songs ever.
Yeah. TV Guide, just before she passed away, they had done a worldwide poll on the most recognized television theme song, and Happy Trails won. She was thrilled.
You know, they were married for a long, long time.
Over 50 years, yeah.
And they worked together almost during that entire time.
Yeah.
That's amazing that they still had that wonderful relationship. And which one of them actually would be the person that you would go to first? If you had a problem and you wanted to go talk to somebody.
Mom. Yeah.
She kind of comes across as that type of lady, but I would have thought you would have said Roy.
No, it was Mom. She was just the most incredible lady. The problem with Dad is that if he didn't want you to do something, there was no way in the world you were ever going to change his mind about it. But if you went to Mom, you could actually reason with her and talk to her, and you had a better chance.
Do you think it's because Roy, you know, he grew up in a very tough atmosphere, and he had to live by rigid rules, and it was a tough time to grow up. And he's one of these people that he worked for everything that he got. Nothing was given to him.
No,
And that's what's so amazing. He brings up the true American spirit. You talk about the greatest generation and all of that. Now, we've all read the book, but he was a picture of everything that was right and good and tough in America. I mean, he stood for all of that.
But you know, Truman, he was always this little kid, too. I mean, driving anywhere with my dad was just wonderful, because if you were out on the highway and you saw the sign that says, you know, the biggest rattlesnake in the world, or the most baby rattlesnakes, you know, ever, or the thing, and all those question marks, mm-hmm. Dad's car would just zoom right off the highway, and he had to see what that was.
That's amazing.
So, I mean, that was just such fun. He had such a sense of wonder about him. And the other thing that was such fun is that he never passed an ice cream stand. I mean, his car just had sort of a...
I knew I had something in common with
him. There was a magnet that, you know, we always, A&W, Foster, Dairy Queen, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, as soon as you saw an ice cream sign up ahead, that's the car would just go right there. So we very much enjoyed that.
You know, tomorrow, I believe I could sit in the audience and listen to you for 3 hours telling about all the wonderful experiences that you have had and growing up in such a great family. But how are you going to do the show tomorrow? Because I'm going to be there.
Wonderful.
And I know a lot of people are coming. I mean, if you're a Roy Rogers fan, you've got to be there at Patterson Park tomorrow at 1 o'clock. What are they going to get to see?
Well, they're going to get to see the Dad's first starring movie, Under Western Stars. Mm-hmm. And it is, I think, one of the best he did. It's really a great story. Just seeing he and Trigger on the screen for the first time together and watching them, that in itself is fascinating to me, and I've seen it a bunch of times. Then we're also going to show the episode of This Is Your Life, that they did with Dad. He thought it was going to be about the minister, Bill Alexander, who had married, he and Mom. So he went, you know, to Ralph Edwards' program expecting one thing and was really prepared. So when they turned the tables and it was Dad's life, he was just floored. And it's really visible on this for those who haven't seen it. It's really a treat. And my grandparents are on that show.
Oh, my.
And the Sons of the Pioneers made an appearance and did a song with Dad. And of course, Trigger is there. So you get to see everybody, most of the family. There were a couple that weren't around yet. But most of us kids are there. So it's really fascinating.
What time should people show up tomorrow?
Since there were no pre-tickets sold, I suggest that they be there no later than 12:30 so that they can get in.
Well, I'll be there at 12:30, I can tell you that. It's going to be a wonderful day tomorrow. I may have to miss part of my son's grandson's baseball practice tomorrow, but I do not want to miss this, and I can tell Terry Malone, who is the second biggest Roy Rogers fan, he had to take his grandkids somewhere, so I've got one up on him. And I hope everybody in Rutherford County that's a Roy Rogers fan shows up tomorrow, because I think it'll be a wonderful experience for them. And I really appreciate you being on, Cheryl. You have been a wonderful guest.
Oh, thank you so much. It has been a great pleasure. I've had a wonderful time.
And we'll see all of you tomorrow at 1 o'clock at Patterson Park.